The Ramayana isn't merely an ancient text. It's a living force that has molded the moral compass of over a billion people across generations. What makes Rama extraordinary isn't his divine status, but his profound humanity, his mental fortitude, ethical clarity, and unwavering commitment to Dharma despite overwhelming personal challenges. While experiencing the full spectrum of human emotions, love, grief, anger, joy, his decision-making remained remarkably unclouded by self-interest. This explains why the Ramayana endures as India's most beloved epic, with celebrations like Diwali drawing billions worldwide to commemorate Rama's triumph. Even modern leaders from Sundar Pichai to the Dalai Lama cite Rama's principled leadership as inspiration. As Brahma prophesied, "As long as mountains stand and rivers flow on earth, this story of Rama will flourish in the world." The Ramayana originated when Valmiki witnessed a hunter kill a male crouch bird, leaving its mate grieving. Moved by this tragedy, the sage spontaneously uttered a curse in perfect meter, creating the shloka poetic form that would become his epic's foundation. Valmiki's messengers were Lava and Kusha, secretly Rama's own sons, who memorized the entire epic and performed it musically. During Rama's Ashwamedha Yagna at Ayodhya, these boys sang Rama's story before Rama himself, creating a remarkable moment of literary self-reflection. The Ramayana's genius transforms abstract Vedic wisdom into compelling narrative. It demonstrates Dharma through characters' choices and consequences rather than presenting philosophical concepts in isolation, making profound teachings accessible to all and explaining why the epic continues to resonate across cultures millennia later. The Ramayana reveals sophisticated urban centers that challenge our assumptions about ancient civilization. Ayodhya, established by Manu, spanned approximately 6,000 square kilometers, comparable to modern Shanghai. Under Dasharatha, it featured flower-adorned water-sprinkled pathways, multi-storied buildings with gem-studded facades, and orderly markets. Its deep moats and weaponized fortifications made it truly Ayodhya, unconquerable in war. Kishkinda, within the Dandakaranya forest, functioned as a cave city, with ornate mansions surrounded by orchards and springs. The air was perfumed with sandalwood and fruit wines, while Vanaras, in rich garments, displayed unexpected sophistication for a forest kingdom. Lanka, perched between mountains, represented architectural perfection. Hanumana was awestruck by its mountaintop splendor with impregnable golden walls, gem-studded floors, and diamond lattices. The city balanced Vedic chanting with worldly revelry, rivaling Indra's celestial capital. These descriptions reveal advanced architectural knowledge, civic planning, and cultural refinement that made these cities expressions of aesthetic and spiritual ideals, demonstrating ancient civilizations achieved urban sophistication we're only beginning to appreciate. When Rishi Vishwamitra requested Rama's help against Rakshasas disrupting his yajna, he began what would become a transformative journey for the 14-year-old prince. Though Dasharatha hesitated, Vashishta revealed that Vishwamitra sought Rama not from necessity, but for the prince's development. During their journey to Siddhasram, Vishwamitra methodically prepared Rama for his future. He taught the Bala Atibala mantras, making Rama immune to hunger and fatigue, essential for his coming exile. When they encountered Rakshasi Tataka, Vishwamitra ordered Rama to slay her, addressing the prince's hesitation with a lesson in Raja Bharma: a ruler must protect subjects from evil regardless of the perpetrator's gender. After his yajna, Vishwamitra brought Rama to Mithila, where King Janaka possessed Shiva's bow. When Rama effortlessly lifted, strung, and broke it, he won Sita's hand while demonstrating his divine purpose. What seemed a simple request for protection was actually a comprehensive training program, transforming Rama from a sheltered prince into a warrior sage prepared for unprecedented challenges. Isn't this the essence of true mentorship, seeing potential and creating experiences that develop it? Rama and Sita's marriage exemplifies spiritual partnership. Though meeting only at their wedding, they developed a wordless connection. When Rama faced exile, Sita insisted on accompanying him, stating a wife's destiny follows her husband's and separation would be worse than death. In the forest, Sita thrived rather than merely endured. At Chitrakoot, they spent blissful days together, with Rama confiding that the mountain's beauty eased thoughts of his lost kingdom. Their bond deepened through shared experiences in both peaceful and difficult times. After Sita's abduction, Rama threatened to destroy the world if she wasn't found. When Hanumana located her in Lanka, she refused his rescue, citing concerns about falling during flight, possible recapture, her vow against touching other men, and Rama's reputation. Though devoted to Rama, Sita maintained her dignity and independence, ensuring he defeated Ravana himself to protect his honor. Their relationship embodied Saha Dharmacharini, equal partners walking the path of Dharma together, balancing personal devotion with social responsibility in ways that continue to inspire modern interpretations of marriage. Ravana wasn't always a villain. Born as Dashagriva, he possessed extraordinary intelligence, power, and spiritual discipline. After gaining near immortality through Brahma's boon, he transformed Lanka into a golden city, a complex figure balancing religious observance with moral corruption. His fundamental flaw was uncontrolled lust, manifesting as an obsession with possessing women regardless of consent. When Sherpanaka described Sita's pipi, Ravana became fixated despite his harem. His obsession was so overwhelming that he ignored all warnings, including Brahma's curse that his head would explode if he violated any woman against her will. Ravana rejected all counsel to return Sita. Vibhishana warned that Rama was neither weak nor unaware. Even his mother Kaikasi advised returning Sita to avoid war, but his lust blinded him to the coming destruction. In the final battle, as his commanders fell, Ravana's lust turned to rage. After Rama pierced his chest with Brahma's divine weapon, Mandodari lamented over her husband's body, acknowledging how desire had blinded him despite her warnings. Ravana's tragic arc illustrates how even extraordinary gifts cannot save someone who surrenders to uncontrolled desire. How many modern leaders have similarly fallen when power and desire overrode wisdom and moral responsibility? Rama's kingdom exemplified good governance, where people lived joyously without fear, achieved through administrative principles still relevant today. Rama selected ministers based on trustworthiness, courage, expertise, self-control, and integrity. He made decisions with just 3-4 knowledgeable advisors, avoiding the confusion of too many voices. Projects were prioritized by yield-to-effort ratio and allocated by merit. Justice was fundamental to Rama Rajya. Rama insisted on dispassionate administration regardless of wealth. The innocent weren't punished without proper inquiry, and criminals couldn't escape through bribes. Troublemakers faced consequences regardless of status. Economic prosperity thrived through support for trade and enterprise. Expenditures remained below income with appropriate taxation. Security was maintained through intelligence networks and well-treated, timely paid soldiers. Rama modeled disciplined leadership by waking before sunrise and remaining accessible while maintaining dignity. He balanced dharma, religious practices, artha, administration, and kama, pleasure, embodying Hindu philosophy's integrated approach to life. Rama Rajya succeeded because Rama had achieved control over his mind and senses. The Ramayana reminds us that societal harmony begins with self-mastery and extends through systems balancing justice, prosperity, security, and human flourishing.